Here we go. Today's Tuesday. It's a Shchedesh Nissen. Shchedesh Nissen. So first of all, you have to remember to say the Nasi. Whenever I think of the Nasi, I remember Asher Batumer, Asher Sasankin, Olav Shalom, who was a very Chassidish Yid from Russia. Every year I go through this whole visualization. He used to go over to the table before Fabrengens on Shabbos, pound on the table with all of his might, and scream, Nish vergessen sagen, and then he would whisper, the Nasi. It was his shtick. He did this as long as I could remember. Pound on the table was a Russian energy ball.
Do you have to, like,
it's important. Everything else is important. I don't want to say it's not like Shabbos, but it's important. Today we start saying the Nasi. Today we say the whole Akdama, and we say Shevet Yehuda, and of course we say the Yehiratzen. And the minig is to say the Yehiratzen no matter what Shevet you belong to. In other words, even if you're not a Kohen, not a from Shevet Yehuda, you say the Yehiratzen. Okay, now we're learning a Maimer. It's a Pashas Pora Maimer, which is a little bit behind, not that far behind. And it happens to have to do with Beis Nissen. It talks about Nesi Yisachar. It talks about Vayema Sheini Hikiv Nisanel Ben Sua Nesi Yisachar. You see, the Pora Duma was done Beis Nissen. Right? Remember, go back to the year 2449. The Yidden left Mitzrayim. Pesach 2448. They got the Torah, that Shavuos. Meshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, Shivasa Batamas, they made the Egel, Meshe Rabbeinu went up again, and he came back Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is now 2449, right? They spent that winter building the Mishkan. 23 other, they put up the Mishkan for Chinuch. Every day they put it up, and every day they would take it down for a week. Meshe Rabbeinu, we talked about all this. Meshe Rabbeinu acted as the Kohen, and Aaron and his children were the initiates, were being initiated, being chinuched for the Avodah. Then was Sunday, the Shchedesh Nissen, that's today. Today it's a Tuesday, that year was a Sunday. Meshe Rabbeinu shared the Kohuna with Aaron and his children, as they shared in Chumash Rashi, for that eighth day. It was in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Pekudei. Rashi says that at day, Moshe was shoved to Aaron and his children. The divided the eighth day, the Shchedesh Nissen. If you're talking about the Shchedesh Nissen in the year 2449, the Beis Mikdash was put up. The Kohenim were doing the Avodah for the first time, and also it was the first of the 12 Nesiim, right? The first 12 days in Nissen, each day one of the Nesiim brought their Karbanos. The next day, Beis Nissen, which happens to be the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe Rashab, which is tomorrow, they did the Paraduma. The Paraduma was done Beis Nissen. The second day in the month of Nissen, the Paraduma was done. And Nisanel ben Suar, which was the Nasi of Shevet Yisachar, brought his carbon as one of the Yud Beis Nissiim. So our Maimon talks about Paraduma, and it connects it to Shevet Yisachar, to Nisanel ben Suar. We're going to do this on Thursday. The Maimon right in front of you. We're going to do this on Thursday. Now, if you can look at your Maimed, the Maimed is 6 pages long, and it's quite involved. This is not, you can't say about this Maimed, the Rebbe just repeating himself in other words. This Maimed has a lot of detail, so you'll see, and 187 at the top, it says number 10, and underneath number 10, it says number 1. So if all things go to plan, and everybody knows the plans are made to be broken, today we have to cover numbers 1 through 9. And Thursday, we're going to do the other half of the Maimer, we'll do 10 through 15 or 16. Okay? So we're learning a Pora Aduma Maimer, which is connected to Shevet Yisachar and to Nisan Ben Tzur. You'll find that out on Thursday. What we're learning today is Pora Aduma. Why are we learning Pora Aduma? Because before Yom Tif, you didn't have to bring Karbanos on Yom Tif. You couldn't bring a carbon if you were Tameh. So before Pesach, when you didn't have to bring the carbon Pesach, they read the Pasha, we read every year, the Pasha's Pada, to teach us about the Indian of being metayed ourselves to be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash. So let's read the last couple of lines of the first paragraph of page 187. Vitzorech lohoven ha-shaychez de Pada adum al Inyan ha-golos. There's a lot of corollaries, a lot of comparisons between things and Pada adum. And one of them is Golos, because it says Pada Aduma, Tmima, Asher Eim Bamum, Asher Le'olo Leha Oil. That's four different things. Aduma, Tmima, Eim Bamum, and Le'olo Leha Oil. So it says in Medrash, it goes on the four Golos. It goes on a lot of fours. One of them is the four golos. So the Rebbe's question is, why is Par Aduma connected to golos? V'harei Parah k'shura l'mishkan u'miknash. Par Aduma is connected to the Beis HaMikdash. U'bezman ha-golos golina mi'atzeinu v'nechra Beis Mikdashenu. So there's no Par Aduma. So the Rebbe's question is, why do we compare, the Medrash compares Par Aduma specifically to golos? And he gives a very simple answer, a very logical and a very simple answer. Next paragraph. The answer to the question is, if you want to understand the relationship between Parah Adum and Golos, it's very simple. The Parah Adum had to be done outside of the camp. Yidden had three camps. Machane Shechina, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Machane Levia, which is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, Umachne Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim. The Parah Aduma was done outside. It says the Rebbe, the fact that the Parah Aduma is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash and outside of Yerushalayim, v'areizeh k'may b'golos, it's comparable to golos. And here the Rebbe changes. Shu michutz l'Beis HaMikdash, what's in golos? No Beis HaMikdash. Michutz l'Yerushalayim, there's no Yerushalayim. And the chutz la'aretz outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe changes a little bit. The Yerushalayim is Machane Shechina. Eretz Beis HaMikdash is Machane Shechina. Yerushalayim is Machane Levia, and the whole of Eretz Yisrael is Machane Yisrael. So the parallel between Parah Aduma and Golos is simple. Parah Aduma is a karm, at least it's called a karm. Chatas Chayei Rachmana. That's done outside. Golos is serving Hashem. Outside, out of the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim, and outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'lachein, and therefore, page 187, second paragraph, fourth line, Merumiz bepara inyidav malchis hanal. There's a relationship between Parah Aduma and Golos. Okay, v'yesh lahoisev, and I want to add something else. Now that we understand that the making of the Parah Aduma, the ritual of making of the Parah Aduma, is compared to Golos, there's something else that you have to understand. Sheyesh lilmid mikan hero b'avedas ha'adam bizman ha'golos. If we compare the making of the Parah Aduma to Golos, we must say that there's a lesson to be learned from Parah Aduma of how to live in Golos. Hainu, this means the gam bizman ha'golos yesh in the Parah Aduma. We can't bring most carbonos, but Parah Aduma's comparison to Golos leads us to believe, or leads us to understand, that we have to appreciate the relationship between Parah Aduma and Golos practically. In other words, it's not only the most carbonus, we have a spiritual parallel between them and how we serve Hashem. Which is the highest of all of the carbonis. There is something to be learned from Parah Aduma in the times of Golos. Moreover, even though we're in Golos, we can do what Parah Aduma represents. And the Rebbe says this is always true. It was true right after the Churban when Yidden were in a higher Madrega, and it's true even now. Parah Aduma has a message for us in Avoda in Zman HaGolos. Turn the page. Page 188. Number 3. Okay, so the Rebbe is now trying to extract not just a parallel between Golos and Parah Aduma, but an avoda message from Parah Aduma to the Zman HaGolos. So we're reading now number 3. Ubir ha'inyinu. The pshat is like this. When you talk about Golos, there's a pasuk. V'nahar yecherav yavish. The river will become yecherav. Yecherav means it will be chorav, there will be no flowing water. V'yavesh, not only will there be no flowing water, it will be dry, there won't even be mud. So it says in Zohar v'omru razal yecherav b'ayis rishen, that the water wasn't running is the chorban b'ayis rishen. That the, in other words, the chorban b'ayis hamikdash rishen means that the mud is still there, it's moist, but at least there's no flowing water. That's golos. The Yavish Bebayi Shady, and when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the metaphor, the illustration for it is not only that there's no flowing river, the riverbed is dry. It's a metaphor. So the Rebbe says, let's go to the source. If we compare Golos to a river that's drying up, to the extent that the riverbed goes dry. Let's go to the beginning. What's the beginning of the story of a river? And the beginning of the story of a river is the river that comes from Gan Eden. The Nahar Stam on HaPras. When you make an allusion to a river, you mean the river Euphrates, the Pras. The Tziv Bey, as the Pasuk says, V'Nahar Yetzeh Me'Eden LaHashkes HaZagam. There's a place called Eden. Eden is wonderful. Right? It's Eden. There's a river that flows from Eden to Gan Eden, which is also wonderful. But then it says something else. Umisham Yiparet. I mean, if you can visualize it physically, there's a place on earth called Eden. River flows from Eden to a place called Gan Eden, which is a physical place on earth called Gan Eden. And then it divides up into four tributaries. Out of Gan Eden come four distinct rivers. In other words, the world as the Eibishter that created it was one large river feeding a paradise, which then spilled over into four rivers. We have the four rivers, but we don't have the first river, and we don't have the Gan Eden on earth. But we know what the four rivers are, more or less. You can ask me what they are. One of them, I don't know all of them, but two of them are the Tigris and the Euphrates. The third is the Nilus. And maybe the fourth is the Yadin, I don't know. But we know what those rivers are. You wanted to say something? So the Rebbe points out what this means. V'hainu, five lines from the top. The Hagam Shuba Gan Eden. You're talking about a river flowing from Gan Eden. Mechoma kama b'chimis pirut. In other words, Rebbe says, the beginning of the vision starts in Gan Eden. One river, huh? Peter, division, separation. There's one river feeding Gan Eden. That's Achdus. The fact that at the end of Gan Eden there could be a division into four is the beginning of what's no good. So the Rebbe says, we talk about a riverbed that's dry or a riverbed that's muddy but no flowing water. The beginning of it is Gan Eden. In other words, the source of all not good stuff starts on a very high level in a very refined way. So the Rebbe continues now, six lines into the paragraph. From the fact that it's possible to be in a state of Gan Eden, a garden of pleasure, of the light of godliness, and there could be the theoretical beginning of the vision cascades, it has a chain reaction, to Golos. What is Golos? There's no water at all. Nahar Yecharav, there's a river that's muddy, it's all that's left. And Viyavesh, the river is actually dry. So the Rebbe says, understand that what happens down here on a gross level, on a very gashmistical level, begins up there on a very, very theoretical level, a very esoteric level. So the beginning of all the tzaddis is Gan Eden. When things come out of Gan Eden and they divide in a very hypothetical way, down here it translates that there could be a river that dries. In other words, that the flow of godliness is interrupted. Whether it's muddy or it's totally dry, this is an even helam v'hester. The goliath down here begin with a division that comes out of Gan Eden. Ki hagam shebemekere lemayit. Even whereas the source of all of these limitations is hanar as a river, which is bechinas bittel. Bittel is underlined. Im kolzeh hine bittelzeh bechinas bittel ayesh. When on the highest levels of ishtalshalos, there is a small deficiency in the bittel, where the bittel feels itself, and the symptom of the bittel feeling itself is v'nikra v'kanfei and prudes. This is an expression by Malachim that their wings are separate. So the Maimer continues and says v'kivon she'enei bittel gomer. Since at the highest levels in the exit of Gan Eden there is a small deficiency in bittel. Down here it translates into a river which has no water, or perhaps even a river that has no moisture. So the Rebbe says the beginning of everything is bedakus. You know, you have in Hasidus a fantastic illustration. It says in Kabbalah that every world has klipa. Atzilus also has klipa. How Atzilus has klipa and where Atzilus has klipa lives is a story for another time. But Atzilus has klipa. You know what the name of Atzilus has klipa is? Ru'uma. Yishmael Yedachomish? Yeah? After the Akedah, it says that Basuel had 12 sons and a daughter. Right? His daughter's name was... What was his daughter's name? Rivka. Remember that? And he had 12 sons. And he had 12 sons. 8 from a Gvira, 8 from a primary wife, and 4 from a Pilegish, from a concubine, whatever that means. So the pasuk is Upilakshayo Shmaru Umo. The name of the Pilegesh of
Nocher was Reuma.
The Torah doesn't discuss the children of Esau. The Torah discusses the children of Nocher, Esau's father. Nocher has 12 sons, and Besuel, one of those 12 sons, had a daughter whose name was Rivka. In other words, whatever, don't worry about it. It's Avram's brother's Shvatim, right? Yankev had 12 Shvatim, Nocher had 12 Shvatim, Avram had him two generations later, and it turned out a lot nicer. You understand? You wait a little, they become better kids. But they had 12 children, eight from Gvira and four from a Pilegesh. The Pilegesh name is Reuma, so Chassidus Taitis, what's made Reuma? Reuma, Ze Bitl. You'll see in this Maimon later.
Mother?
Grandmother.
It's the second mother.
That's right. Reuma.
That's
her mother's name. It says in the
Pasuk. Okay. The primary wife was Rivka's mother.
The primary wife is his grandmother. Besuel is Rivka's father. Besuel is one of the 12 sons of the primary wife. Milka, her name was Milka. Hine yoldo Milka gam hi banim nocher es achicha. Es us bechedev, es buz ochev, es kesev, hazev, es tildek yidlok. Ve'ez Besuel. U Besuel yod es Rivka. Shmeine eila yod. Yoldo Milka, le nocher achi Avram. Ufilak ha de pasha finishes. Ufilak she shmar it's pretty good, huh? How do I know those took in my heart? Ufilak she shmar umet, tells gam hi es tevach, ve'ez gacham, ve'ez zachash. Remember that? That's how Pasha's Vayera finishes. I know it because we read it Rosh Hashanah. It's part of the Great State of Rosh Hashanah. So Reuma means sea bittle. Reuma, sea bittle. Someone is bottle. Bottle is a gvaldik azach. If you feel that you're a bottle, that's the opposite of bittle. Gan Eden is a place of bittle. The river that flows from Gan Eden is bittle, but it's aware of its bittle. So it's a river, it's a flowing river, and of course the metaphor of the flowing river is water which goes on the Teda, but when on the higher Madregas you have a tiny chsadin, down here it translates into a Nor Yechre Yavish. And you have to fix it. And of course the point is, you read the Teda Chaliyah, down here it comes down into a state of no water at all. But when you correct it, you don't only correct down here, you correct the beginning of the Ra as it's coming out of Gan Eden. Go ahead. So let's keep going. Says the Rebbe, umizeh move on shahatikn. If it's true that on the highest levels, one who is bottle has a deficiency in his bittle, so it's a flowing river of water of Teder that down here is going to result in a no yechra v'yavish, so you got to fix it. When you're coming out of Gan Eden, you think, what's the big deal? Okay, so I'm aware that I'm bottle. When you live over here where it's dry, you see how terrible it is in the end. Says the Rebbe Shatikil, the Inyan HaGolos, the Bittel, the Metzias. The way to correct Golos is total Bittel, and the Rebbe says, Zehu Inyan Maisa HaPorah, which is the concept of the Parah Duma, that it's completely burnt. The Ksiv Bo, it says about the Parah Duma, as Erev, as Besorev, as Domo Al Pir Shal Yisrei. The Parah Duma was consumed completely. I don't want to go into the specifics. Every animal that was burnt, parts of it were not burnt. Even animals that were totally consumed, there were parts of it that were not burnt. The paraduma was burnt off, the good and the bad, the ugly, totally burnt off. And the Rebbe says, "Hainu sreifas kol mitzvah." You saw burning off its entire form, which is bittul b'mitzvah, a concept of bittul b'mitzvah. So the physical burning of the paraduma represents a total hisbatlus. Now paraduma,
was it burnt completely?
No one took any of it. Not a drop. Nothing. And they use the ash. But they use the ash of all parts of the potter, not only the meat, the skin, the hooves, the horns, and everything. So the burning of the potter aduma represents total isbatlus. So the comparison between potter aduma and golos isn't only that potter aduma is a metaphor for golos, or it happens in golos, but there's an avoida message. There's something corrective from potter aduma to zmana golos. In times of golos, we're not capable of a lot of things, but we're capable of bittle. And the bittle in the time of Golos corrects what brought on the Golos. Last three lines of page 188. Vayedei avei dezu, through this avei de mizbatel in apilu. You destroy the notion of division. Umisham yiparei. Vayedei zeh leizu bovach ein shunasin asmak v'yina Golos. It stops the possibility for Golos. Ela gam cheshech ha-Golos shem yuchut v'gimel machneis mizhapach ha-eir. Golos self is transformed. So the word that represents not good in this maimed is division, period. And division starts off very subtle, and it ends off very, very, very obvious. Because of division, there is no life. So the Rebbe says, you reverse it through bittel. And what you're reversing is the division. And when you reverse the division, there's two things. Number one, there stops being division. In a place of bittul, there's no longer division. Number two, you transform the darkness into light. Exactly what this means specifically, I don't know. But now goes a very interesting allusion. What the Rebbe does now almost sounds like agoda. The Rebbe plays on words. Okay? What do we know? We know two things about Parah Adumah. Number one, that the four parts of the Parah Adumah correspond to the four ghosts. Number two, the burning of the Parah Adumah corresponds to the reversal of galus and the source of galus. Yeah? What's left over from the Parah Adumah? Ash. So now the Rebbe plays a word with ashes, okay? The Hebrew word for ash is Aphid, Aleph Peyresh. The Hebrew word for earth is often Ayin Peyresh. So the Rebbe makes A equals B equals C. You replace the Aleph with the Ayin. Aphid and Ofar are comparable. We find it by Avraham Avinu. Anehi Ofar v'Aphid. We compare ash to earth. Okay, and then we change the vowels. Ofar is a comet under the ayin, and a comet under the fey. If you make a choylem on top of the ayin and a segel under the fey, it becomes oifer. So you go from eifer to ofar to oifer. Oifer hayala means a young deer. And you should know that there's a lot of discussion. I wrote it on the margin. The Maimah doesn't bring it. But if you know, the Maimah from the Mittler Rebbe Barich talks about Chevle Mashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach. The birth pains of Mashiach are compared to this Eifer HaYolam. This is a Maimah Chazal that says that there is an animal called an Ayol, that Rachma Tzora, her birth canal is not big enough to deliver the baby. It's impossible for the baby to be born. And it's a mushal for the birth of Mashiach. And there's a darkoin, which means an akrav, a scorpion. Huh? That's Chevle Mashiach comes from this ingin. It's called an oifer or a yolim, a young deer, and a scorpion, which represents the antithesis. Life has to sting it for it to be wide enough for the baby to be born. So there's an enormous amount of pain associated with the birth of Mashiach. So oifer ayolim is associated with Chevle Mashiach also. Here.
Both the name of the deer, or
yeah, yeah. Eifer Ayala means, from what I understand, it means a young deer. Perhaps it means a certain species, but there's a medrash like this that Chevle Mashiach Adu Eifer Ayala. Here he speaks about Eifer not so much about the birth of Mashiach, but about Golos, I suppose. Okay, so I gave you the math, okay? Let's see if we can read still straight through to the end. Again, we have A equals B, Eifer equals Ofer, Aleph to an Ayin. B equals C, offer to Oifer, which means a young deer. So now read the end of the paragraph. Ulefiza Yeshleim. So let's talk about Parah Adumah now. Okay? Number one, the four aspects of Parah Adumah correspond to the four gullies. Number two, the burning of the Parah Adumah corresponds to the transformation of the gullies. Number three, the offer equals Oifer, which is a deer, corresponds to what happens after you transform the gullus. What happens? You fix the gullus. The ash that's left over is the positive after the bittul. The fire, the burning fire, destroys the negative. The ash which is left over is the positive, which is compared to a deer. Lefizeya Shleima, three lines from the end of the first paragraph of page 189. The Zeo Hakeshe Lamashamevi Achakach by Maimisham. In the Maimon, on which this Maimon is based, it says in Shir HaShirim, Soiv. Soiv means turn. My friend, my beloved, which goes on the Abish, is compared to a deer, which is a young deer. And it finishes with the words, Al Hore Basar, on the mountains of Basar with a tuff. Now, Basar with a tuff also means division, to cut, to separate. Basar is very similar to the word Pirud we have on the previous page.
And,
like Bisnab Sami, I'm going to say it in a moment. So the way this works is, you have a Parah Adumah, which is compared to Golos because of its characteristics. The burning of it is the bittling of what's not good about the Pirut. The ash which is left over is the reward. And the ash which is left over is like a deer climbing on mountains of Basar. The Eifer HaYolim, the offer or efer aparu inyanecha, this deer is compared to the ash, which is the residue, the positive that's left over from the para aduma. Okay? So that, you with me? You understand the math? This is very technical. Ubir ha'inyin hu. Let's explain. So what you have now is three points. The first point is that the para aduma is compared to golos. The second point is burning the para aduma is destroying what's negative about golos. The third point is the ash is the positive that's left over from golos and it's compared to a deer. Now I'm going to save you the suspense. Like I always say, I'm very good at suspense, I can't keep it at all. I'd rather be clear than me hold on to a secret. He's going to contrast a deer from a horse. He's going to mean psukim. That yidden, the tzaddikim are compared to running like a horse. Bailei tshuva are compared to running like a deer. What's the difference between a horse and a deer? Very simple. You can ride on a horse. The very fact that you can ride on a horse shows on a certain limitation. You cannot ride on a deer, except he runs too fast. And the nimshal is that tzaddikim's avoida is serving Hashem in a measured way, like one riding on a horse. Bailei tshuva's avoida is like a running deer, and that's what's left over after the correction of golos, right? The pora aduma represents golos, the burning of the pora aduma means the bittling of the division, and what's left over is the positive. You understood? That was clear, yes? So next paragraph, page 189. Pirush Hare Basar. Thank you very much. Page 189, second paragraph, number 6. There's mountains called Basar. Pirush Bemedresh Alderach Bris Bein Apsar. That means parts. So just like on the previous page, we had Ganeden's Pirut, now we have mountains of separation. And he brings a bunch of psukim. Lama Terachtem Harem Gavnunim against the Maise Tire de Prida Tura de Pruda. And you have Tura de Pruda. So now, second half of the paragraph, okay? Va'al Yedei, four lines. Fifth line into the second paragraph. Va'al Yedei ha'yirid le'tura de Pruda. You descend into the mountain of separateness, which is called Haribasa, which is the equal of the dividing river, right? The river divided up into four is no good. Mountains of separateness are no good. When you correct that, look at the Rebbe's words, boy matachas ha'ilui. When you deal with the separateness and you correct it, you achieve a higher level. Like the advantage of a Baal Tshuva Batzadik. Let's put it in context. If you're sitting in Gan Eden, life's wonderful, because Gan Eden is fed by one river, Achdus. If you're out of Gan Eden, it's not so wonderful, because you're fed by four divided rivers. But this division, which ends up with Nar Yochanev Yavish, a river with no water at all, no moisture at all, when reversed, brings you to higher than Gan Eden. Just like the Baal Tshuva is higher than the Tzadik. So in Gan Eden, there's Achdus. Outside Gan Eden, you have the beginning of Pirut. When you overcome the challenges of the Pirut, you don't only reach the Madrega of Gan Eden, you go higher, like the Maida of Baal Tshuva or Tzadik. He brings up an interesting thing.
You're saying also in Galus, you can go higher than
that's correct. Through the Bittl in Galus, right. And he brings a Medrash. I spent a lot of time looking this up, but this is a pasuk. The Medrash says, when the Eibishter wanted to give the Torah to the mountains competed. And the Eibishter chose Sinai. In this Maimer, Sinai is Tzadik, okay? Two of the mountains that are mentioned by name as wanting the Torah to be given on them are Har HaKarmel and Har Tavir. So the Medrash says the Eibishter rewarded them for trying. Hashem refutes them. Hashem thought, no, you're no good for this reason, yeah? He chooses Dafka Har Sinai because it's the lowest, it's the most humble of all the mountains. They represent Peter. But the Eibishter rewards them for trying. How does he reward them? So Har HaKarmel is rewarded, the story of Eliyahu. And Har Tavir is rewarded, the story of Sisra. Both of these mountains are in Eretz Yisrael. Huh? The story of Sisra, that the Dvaira, right? The Dvaira story of the defeat Sisra on Mount Tavir. So the Medrash says like this. V'zehu ma'ash b'har HaKarmel ne'emar, by Mount Carmel, it says, Beis pa'amim, Hashem hu alakim. They said twice Hashem hu alakim. Kasher Eliyahu heishev v'tshuvas nevi Abal, when he brought the prophets of Baal to tshuva. And by Har Tavir, it says twice Anoichi, right? Shimu melacha mazinu roiznim, Anoichi ashira l'Hashem, Anoichi l'Hashem ashira. So it says in Medrash, by Har Sin, it says Anoichi once. By Har Tavir, it says Anoichi twice, because it was Indian of tshuva. So Har Tavir is a mountain in Eretz Yisrael, which means a mountain of division, which is not good. But when you reverse it, it becomes better than good. So number seven now.
Better than the original.
Better than a tzaddik. Better than a tzaddik. Of last paragraph 189. It says in the post of Daymelochadeyil Tzviel Eifer Ayolim, Hashem is compared to a deer. Say stuff like this. Tehine. The matan teira nema, where the teira was given, it says, Kiktirkav al susecha markavesecha Yeshua. There's a whole maimonim in Hanukkah about sus. This maimon makes a sus into nothing. Other maimonim make a very big deal out of sus, okay? The riding, the Eibishter says, Hashem rides on a horse, and this horse acts as a merkava of the Eibishter to bring Yeshua to the Jewish people. So he says, Dehine. Anurayim. What do we say about a horse? Shasus is merkava la'avim. A horse is a chariot for a person. So in some places, you speak about this as being very high. Here he limits it. Shasus melech es ha'adam l'makim. The horse will bring a person to a place. Asher ha'adam ba'atzme yoy ho'yochel la'gir l'sham. You can't come there by yourself. Valderech le'yuvan l'mad is famous to by the Eivishter. That k'day sh'yuchel l'yisus galas ha'shchina l'mata in order for Hashem to come down onto this world. On Hasina, you have to think of horses. What is horses? Four lines from the bottom. Zehu inyan avedis ha-tzadikim. The Eivishter's horse, I'm sorry for using that illusion, is a tzadik. Shayyezehi anshachas alakuz v'kedusha. It brings down godliness into this world, but in a holy place. So a horse, which runs very fast, is a macho for a tzadik, which is a merkava for bringing the Eivishter into this world in a place of holiness. The mochach mikol teraya. Sina is a small mountain. Small means humble, but small also means small, not very energetic. So the Rebbe says the whole metaphor of Yidden, the Eivish Kayachu riding on a horse to come into this world and give us the Torah shows our limitation. And here's how. Al derech ze baveda milmato lamal. Think about people. Sha'aliyah ba'aveda desusim. When a horse rises, it's aliyah be'erech. It's limited. What's the proof? Ki ritza sasus hilif erech adam. A horse's speed is tolerable for a person. Page 190 now. Vaharaye sha'aliyah likevo. The fact that you can ride on the horse shows that you can manage it. Amam k'dei shetiyah emshocha gam lamata mizeh. If you want to come lower than kedusha, so the Eibishter rides on a deer. V'chinas harei bosa ture depruda to bring the Eibishter to the vision. Zelwai de tzvi v'efer ayolam is through a deer. And he discusses a little bit what tzvi means and what efer ayolam means. The specifics of that I'm not going into. Bottom line is, three lines in the top of page 190, get tzvi ukal baraglav. He runs very fast. How fast does he run? That you can't ride on it. Five lines in the top of the page. Va'at chalarei kalusam. They run so fast. Einam merkava la'adam. A person can't ride on them. Shaha Adam any yachal lirkavaleim, he can't ride on them. Now, in the nimshal, what does it mean? Adam ha'elyon can't ride on them. The Eibishter, as he is contracted to the madrega of Atzilus, can't ride on a deer. He can only ride on a horse. It's all mishalim, yeah? And the nimshal is, what brings the Hashem, as he's higher than Adam, into this world? A deer. And a deer represents tshuva. Obaveda to Adam, six lines from the top of page 190. Uinyan aveda sa tshuva. About tshuva is not compared to a horse; he's compared to a deer. Shenyani ledalik shur to go over all limitations. Lemaila nekomodid evakbal beyond all measure, beyond all limit. Kerita sasus like running like a. I'm sorry, like a deer. So the Rebbe says by yitzias mitzrayim, the Eibishter is compared to one riding on a horse. And through the Avodah Zarah, three lines in the end of the first paragraph, Idea Avodah Zarah, Boy Mutacha Sa'iliyav, even a higher Madrege, Daimin Chodegel Tzvil, even Ayolim, it's Abish is riding on a deer. So, this all is ash. Ash somehow becomes a deer.
Because of the offering.
Because of that, the word comparison. But the bottom line is, there's three things here. Paradum is compared to Golos. The burning of it is the bittle of Golos, the Pirud, and the ash, which is left over, is the reward of the Aveda Satshuva. Number 8, middle paragraph, page 190. Vezeo, Mashanem, the Sef Shir Hashidim, the Shir Hashidim finishes. Barach Vademi, Vademi Lecholet Svi, Eifer Ayolim. That the Daidi, which goes on Hashem, through our Tshuva, is compared to a running deer. And here it doesn't say Hari Basar. Here it says Al Hari B'Somim. The Samim is the opposite of Basar. Basar means division. The Samim means the most positive thing of all. Samim represents transforming Klipa into Kedusha. Because Samim has to do with Keteres, and Keteres has to do with Tshuva. The Avedas are Tshuva. To the Veda of Tshuva, you come to the level of Tziv Ibrayalim, Bolu Bechidus Harib Samim, which is very high. And I'm going to save the technicalities for you, I'm just going to tell you. Bechlal Reach, smell, represents higher than Ishtalshulus. Ishtalshulus is food and drink. Smell represents higher than Ishtalshulus. And it's brought in Kabbalah that you have a right nostril and a left nostril. The right nostril has to do with smell which is close to Ishtalshulus. The left nostril has to do with smell which is very far from Ishtalshulus. And in Avodah, this is the beat of Klipa. And the several points. The first point is that the first of the 11 spices of the Ketedis was called Moir, Moiris Treif. And it was included in the Ketedis. The second is that Ketedis has the number 11. In Kedush, everything goes in 10. In Klipa, everything goes in 11. So Hare B'Sama means the transformation of Klipa. That's how you understand it. So Brach L'cha Doidi, the Eibishter is running like a deer. Al Hare B'Sama means that when you're Mavadet, Hare Basar, when you reverse mountains of separateness, which goes on Klipa, you reach Hare B'Samim, what the positive of having transformed Klipa into Kedusha. You got that? I hope so.
I hope so too. I think I got it toward the end.
Yeah, me too.
Like, can you repeat the last paragraph?
Two aspects to why Ketores is compared to Klipa. Number one, the first of the 11 spices is Moir. Moir happens to be musk. Musk is treif. A musk deer is halachically treif. Even though it's a deer, it's treif. It's called a primitive ungulate. It's treif, it's not kosher, whatever the reasons are. And you know that something that comes from treif is also treif. And yet it becomes part of an avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. As a rule in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't include treif because it has to be kosher. So the idea that ketores includes something which starts out as treif is a simen that you mevarer sholosh klipas atmeis agam. It's the first point. And the second point is that Ketores has 11 spices, 11 types. Hatzori, Vatziperi, you know that the Rebbe used to count them with his fingers. Hatzori, Vatziperi, Nechalun, Valvena, Meir, Ketzir, Shubesne, Tarkim, Keish, Kiluf, Kinom. It's 11. You know the famous story? I'll tell you the story. So something which won't be so hard. Yisrael Gordon used to ride the Rebbe in the early years. The Rebbe didn't have an official driver until Yudel got married. Yisrael Gordon had a car, drove the Rebbe around to the oil. The Rebbe went no place. The Rebbe was coming back from oil late. So he was saying Ketores, he could daven mincha on time. In those years, the Rebbe was very, very specific about davening mincha before the Shkia. Later on, that of course changed, but in those years, the Rebbe was very careful. When Yisrael Gordon was a boy, the Rebbe came. When the Rebbe came to America, Yisrael Gordon was less than bar mitzvah. And the Rebbe was the Rebbe. But the American boys found how to tease him. One of the ways they used to tease the Rebbe was this. It says in Kisvei Arizal, the Rebbe did it papayo. When you say ketores in the morning or before mincha, you're supposed to do like this: hatzari with your finger, hatzari, matzipeder, nachalvan, and alvena. That in meir, ketzia, shebeles neid, karkem, keish, kilufa, kinam. So the kids watched the Rebbe do this with his fingers. So whenever they would see the Rebbe, they would do this. This was their tease. They wouldn't say anything. They would see the Rebbe, they would do like this. Fast forward 15 years. The Rebbe is now the Rebbe. Yisrael Gordon is now a big boy, married man, or an adult boy. A bocher or a younger man, and he's taking the Rebbe back to the aisle, and the Rebbe is saying ketores, and the Rebbe is doing this. And as he's driving, he looks over and he sees this, and the Rebbe's eyes and his eyes meet. And their childhood teasing came back to him, and the Rebbe cracked up. The Rebbe laughed. Don't worry, you didn't hurt my feelings. Anyway, ketores has 11 spices. In Kabbalah, 10 is Kedusha, 11 is Klipa. That's how it is. So this is another aspect that Ketores is an avoider, the Beis HaMikdash, which is transforming Klipa into Kedusha. So if you didn't get this, it's not that important. It's two technical details. The bottom line is B'Samim represents transforming Klipa into Kedusha. So this deer who starts off running al Harei Basar, which is Klipa, ends up running on Harei B'Samim. The pasuk starts the same way. You start off by engaging galus, klipa, division. It ends up becoming besamim. You follow? So let's finish. It says in Medrash. The Afghan days. Moreover, when Yidden are going to be in galus. The pasuk says that Eibishter says that even when Yidden are in Golos, the Eibishter does not forget them. So you have in Zoyar Amoshel, second line, bottom of page 190. Isa Bezeyah. It's analogous to a king. He has a betrothed. He has a kali. He loves her, but she has bad taste. Why? She's engaged to the king, but she comes from the poorest segment of the population. She lives in the place called Bursaki, the smelliest neighborhood. When the king knows that his kali is in Bursaki, he goes there. So it says, "Mhoilech achakalose afilu lebursaki." If your kala is in a bursaki, if you're engaged to a girl and she's from a low class and she lives in a smelly neighborhood, you go there. V'alderachzebin yanenu omer azal. The same is true in the nimshal. Golu le'elam. Top of 191. A yidden went into golus in elam, and elam means shushan abira. Shchina imam. The shchina is with them. The Eibishter goes with us into golus, and the three lines from the top of the page. On the my day, avedes hatshuva. When you do tshuva in galus, mamshichim lemaylam bechinas shchina. You bring down something even higher than exists in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and he brings the pasuk again. Done. This is today's class. Okay, you got it. So the point is, paradum is comparable to galus with 3 points. Number one. The form of the paraduma is like golos. The burning of the paraduma is the bittel, and the ash, which is left over paraduma, is the mile of tshuva over tzadik. And on Thursday we'll finish with the beginning and the end. Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you.